We begin this service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the holy living Trinity of love. Amen. Thank you for your presence here this morning. It's good to see each of you here in the sanctuary on this beautiful summer morning in the middle of July. And from our hearts to your heart or home or tablet or phone, wherever you might be watching, we welcome you into this service. And whenever you might partake in this or wherever you might be, we send the love of God to you. And we feel your presence with us today. Just a couple of announcements for our community. We have a special centering prayer retreat this coming Saturday. It's entitled Song and Silence Together in Community, and it will be led by our own Bev McCune, who's our worship assistant today. We're integrating the body in these retreats. Particularly, this retreat will focus on chanting and song, as well as time in nature and gathering in the silence here. It's for in-person only, and it'll be in the sanctuary starting at around 9 o'clock in the morning, concluding at 3 o'clock. You'll need to register online or call the church office, and it's easy to do if that draws to you, and encourage you to explore, you know, doing a centering prayer retreat in community this summer. It's a beautiful way to be with others in the silence. That's all the announcements we actually have for today, but I do want to encourage you to take your bulletins home with you as a spiritual resource. I hear from people that they cut the quotes out or they put the image up. It's full of lovely little treasures, especially if you're new. You can follow along on the chants. They're easy to sing. They're easy to just pick along so you don't have to read the chants, but I do encourage you to glance down so that we all can sing as a part of the worship service during our chants. So again, thank you for your presence today in church. We are beginning a new series today called Transforming Practices that will be focusing on these various practices that are related to the body. Today we'll be talking about noticing and how the body is involved in self-observation practice. So let's just take a moment in the silence. Whatever has drawn you today, whatever is occurring in your world, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to bless each of us through this service and bless those beside us and bless the world with peace through our conscious attention to divine love. May these wishes come to bless each of us. Amen.
Please join us in evoking spirit by chanting, Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit.
Please stand and join together in our community song, The Gospel in One Word is Love.
Love, 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 the gospel in one word is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love, love, love. Love, 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 the gospel.
Please join me in listening for God's word. Our reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 7. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged, and the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but did not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye, while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
There is a diagnosis in that passage, and it's called, you have a bad case of log eye. And most people do have a bad case of log eye. It's so easy to notice what's wrong with other people or other things or other occurrences. It's so easy to notice what's wrong. And that is an addiction that human beings have, for whatever reason, that we're wound tight around some negative emotions that we tend to project out onto other people. And, you know, one little phrase that could sum up everything is that we see what we be. We see what we be. And that's another way of interpreting this passage, that if you've got a log in your eye, you're going to see splinters everywhere in everyone else. You see what we be. And that's a really helpful thing to begin to realize, is that we don't have to be this way. We don't have to always be the same person. We can work on ourselves. We can change. We can we can see in a different way. We can see a whole new world, a whole new thing as our being changes. As we be different, we see different. And that would make a beautiful world if we could see each other's innocence and beauty and dignity, and if we could see each other's essence, if we could see the love that's there, even in the most wounded and most violent among us, the most idiotic among us, if we could see in them something deeper than the splinters, oh, you know, then you're free. Then the seer is free. It doesn't matter what you're seeing. Doesn't matter what the seen one is. You're free, and that makes all the difference when we see differently, because we be differently. And that's something we can all aspire to and wish for. And that is the practice of noticing, is learning how to see differently. We're starting a little series in the Journey School. We've already begun it, which is an opportunity to grow and to be transformed little by little in community every Thursday night. The Journey School is focusing on these transforming practices. So we'll parallel them in Sunday services through the summer here. So today we're focusing on noticing. The Journey School focused on noticing this past week. And next week we'll do attending or attention, and then the following we'll do breathing, and then we'll conclude July with postures and gestures. All these embodied ways that we can learn to be more present to ourselves and to other people. Now, noticing is kind of a catchword for a lot of different spiritual traditions. And perhaps you've heard of that phrase, you know, that or even I can hear a certain yogi or yoga teacher saying to me in yoga class, as well as other people in the yoga class, just notice the flow. You know, just, I'm not criticizing. I'm just saying, they called attention to notice. And the way they said it, it made it sound really, really important, that this is something I needed to do. And yoga really draws our attention to noticing what's going on in the body in a beautiful way, and to noticing without being identified, which is part of the art of noticing, learning how to notice without getting snagged by what we're noticing. Noticing without identification is part of the practice for a lot of us. Noticing the cramp in the back of my leg as I'm doing a downward facing dog. Noticing it without stopping the practice. Noticing the irritation in the back of my lower back when I'm doing my meditation sit. Noticing it, observing it without identifying it. This is called feeling a cramp in the back of as I'm doing this meditation process. Return ever so gently to my sacred word. You know, so noticing is a beautiful thing. So I thought I would just start out by talking a little bit about the word notice, because we use it in different ways in English, and just to hear some of the background of the word can help inform and color our experience of the practice of noticing and why noticing might be important. In English, we hear the word notice in somewhat of a critical way. Like, for example, I'm giving you notice. I'm giving you notice. We also can hear it very in a kind of a critical, harsh way. If you say, I'm getting notice. I'm getting notice of my, you know, you're late on your rent. I'm getting notice. This is your notice. And if you have ever been fired, you're given notice. So it's an interesting negative connotation there. Then there's this phrase that we have of in English of taking notice. Take notice. I took notice of her. I took notice of him. And so it's a kind of an appeal or attraction to it. We get notice, we give notice, and we take notice. Something. What is this noticing that we're giving, getting, and taking? What is it? Well, the English comes from the Latin notus, N-O-T-U-S, notus. And it meant to know, to observe, to bear regard for. And it comes from the Greek gnosis, which meant knowledge or to know. So this English word notice, it comes through Latin all the way from Greek, and it's grounded in the Greek word gnosis, which is a word that we talk about here. You've probably heard of the Gnostics who had a special knowledge. So really to notice is to be attentive to something, to have a knowing about something, and to be known. To be noticed is to be known in some way. Certainly an intellectual flavor to it, but it was of the nous, N-O-U-S, which is a kind of higher way of knowing, to bear witness to someone's inner truth by way of your inner knowing, that you know, you notice them. You don't just see the surface, you see them deeper. Unfortunately, in English, the word notice doesn't carry that depth, but that's its root, is that deeper knowing. To know someone is to notice them. To notice them is to know them, and that's the wish. So when it comes to the practice of self-observation, which is a word phrase we use a lot here in our community, which is one of the foundational practices to self-freedom and self-discovery and growing in Christ, to observe oneself, to know thyself is to see oneself and to observe oneself. And this sort of self-observing is a process. So we don't really talk about the steps or the freeze frames of the experience of self-observation. But if you're in a room of self-observers, which this is for the most part, if we're in a room of self-observers who have a long-standing journey with self-observation, we could probably talk about the characteristics, the experiences, the nuances of the experience of self-observation, of the practice of self-observation. And you could probably break self-observation down into several aspects or facets, like a diamond's facet. Shine a little light on here and you see something different. And certainly one of the first aspects of self-observation is simply seeing. That you see it, you observe it, you see it. You're actually, the lights are on and you see that pattern, that reaction, that behavior, that mood, that feeling, that action that arises in the body, that sensation. You actually see it. So it's just self-observe right now. What do you see occurring in yourself right now? What's the first thing that you see as you look within real quickly? You see it. You're not seeing it with your physical eyes, but you're seeing it with your mind. Just take a second. Do it. What do you see? So that's it. And that's seeing. That's the first step in the process. And then there's this thing called noticing, which is a little bit deeper than seeing. Sherlock Holmes said to Watson, "You see, but you do not observe. You see, but you do not notice." So this deeper aspect of seeing is a noticing. So for example, this is an illustration. I almost drowned twice when I was a kid, both of which I was in pools. And both of times I was seen, and not just seen, I was noticed. And because I was noticed, I was saved. And there's a difference between seeing and noticing. And perhaps you have experienced this in your own life, where you've driven by the same thing, even roads along where you live. And if I asked you, what's the third road and its name before you get to your road? Could you tell? So we oftentimes aren't paying attention so much to everything that we see. And so I'm so grateful that someone actually not only saw that I was flailing as a little four-year-old in my grandparents' pool, but actually noticed and said, "Where's Peter?" And they rescued me, lifted me out. I could feel myself going down. Perhaps you've had an experience like that, where you've not only been seen, but you've been noticed. And then someone can take action from that. And then, of course, from seeing to noticing, there is this deeper dimension of self-observation, which we are going to focus on next week, and that is attending, or giving one's attention to that which is noticed and seen. And so it's this focusing of the light, focusing of the laser beam, focusing of our consciousness, moving from the seeing to the noticing to the attention. And that is part of the practice of self-observation, growing more and more particular and definite and specific in our self-observation. And we also add another word to that process, which is non-critical self-observation, which is really interesting when we come to the passage of Scripture that we just heard read from Bev, because When it says, when you see your neighbor, it uses the Greek word blepo for seeing. But when it says, when you notice the log in your own eye, it's not the same word as blepo. It's kata noe, which is the word notice. But it's not just the word notice. There's something added to the word notice. It's a negative negation of the word notice, and literally kata means nitpicking every little thing about you, noticing. In other words, it's critical. You're being critical of yourself in this seeing of yourself, in this noticing of yourself. So it's this negative noticing that we don't be negative in noticing what you're seeing. Non-critical, definite, specific self-observation. And it moves from seeing to noticing to attending. We'll talk about attention and attending next week. So this beautiful image of this passage of don't judge your neighbor. This word for judge literally means, you know, don't nitpick and pick out the specific things about what bothers you about the neighbor. Don't nitpick. Don't be so critical that you are pulling things apart. It literally is the Greek word that means to pull or separate things apart from this, from that. It's literally to separate, to create separation. And that's what judgment does. It creates separation. So our seeing can lead to a judging or this nitpicking. This nitpicking can lead to a judging, and that judging leads to separation, a sense of separation from each other in our relationships. So this is a very, very important thing, that noticing or even self-observing is focusing on ourselves, and this invitation to not create separation from others by way of what we're seeing in them, to not nitpick in such a way that we separate ourselves from them. How can we observe others? How can we observe ourselves without creating that negative criticism, that negative sense of separation? That's really the tricky part about human relationships, is learning how to communicate what we're seeing and noticing in other people without doing so in a critical way that brings harm or judgment to them. And that is an art form, I think, that all of us can grow in learning how to communicate what we're noticing with love, especially if what we're noticing bothers us or irritates our personality. How do we communicate the splinters we see in other people in a loving way? Well, the first insight is to do so from a place of self-awareness, of your finding it in yourself. And isn't that what the work teaches? To neutralize the thing that bothers you about someone else by finding it first in yourself. And that second you see that thing in another person that irritates you or bothers you, you don't like, in yourself, it drains a significant amount of energy from your judgment or sense of separation from the other person, because there it is in you. And theoretically, you know, just to talk about this, but to have the experience of finding in yourself the very thing you don't like in other people. I was recently with family members, and I heard someone talking in a certain way, a certain manner of thinking, you might say, a certain kind of feeling sorry for oneself because one is a victim, various expressions of that. And the tone and the content, all of a sudden I said, oh, that's where I learned how to do that from that beloved family member. And the thing I didn't like in them, I saw in myself, and I thought, I inherited that innocently and fairly. They inherited that probably innocently and fairly. They didn't go looking for it. It just happened to them, and it was passed on to them from one to the next. So I'd like to talk a little bit about just three practical ways we can apply this practice in our lives. And I'm going to read two quotes from the Thursday email from the Journey School, because I think they really capture the essence of this. The first stage in learning to notice, to really deepen our practice of noticing, is to simply pause and slow down in our lives. And this pausing and this slowing down in our lives gives us that space to see and then to begin to notice. And if all of us could just pause before we speak, or pause before we run out of the house, or pause before we do things, it might help us in noticing what's going on and self-observing what's going on. And that pause leads to a sense of presence. And this is what I wanted to read from the email. Because when we pause, it gives space for grace. The pause leads to the space for grace, or what we call presence. And when we feel into that presence, it leads to possibilities. And so I'm going to talk about that, the presence and the possibilities that emerge from that presence. This is what our Thursday Journey School email says. Noticing is a movement to presence. Perhaps then it is easy to see that when we notice, we have the possibility of choosing, of changing the course of what we are doing and how we do it. An opportunity is an important thing, for at this moment something new can take place. If we do not notice, the opportunity may pass us by. The more we notice, the more opportunities we can have, and the more choices open up to us. So if you've ever felt bored or like you've hit a dead end in life, practice increasing your noticing skill, paying attention, pausing and paying attention to what's going on in yourself and in the world, to notice in that non-critical way. And then we read this little story about J.G. Bennett, who tells an example of the importance of noticing and how ephemeral it can be in any given moment in our lives, and how one day we see something and the next day we not only see it, but we notice something. And this is what J.G. Bennett wrote. J.G. Bennett, John Bennett, was a student of Mr. Gurdjieff, and he's also a prolific writer and thinker on his own right. And he writes, "I was in Damascus, and I wanted to find a monastery that had belonged to the Mevlevi dervishes there, a school. At that time, everything in Syria was going through a very secular phase, and the young people wanted nothing to do with old things. It turned out that everyone I asked didn't know where there had been such a place in Damascus. Now, I used to walk every day down the main road in Damascus, past the railroad station." Key phrase there is, "I used to walk every day." So what becomes, what we do daily can sometimes become dull if we don't do it consciously. "I used to walk every day down the main road in Damascus, past the railroad station. I don't know how many times I walked down that road. And then one day I looked and saw a tall dervish hat on top of a little cupola. And I knew then that this was the school I was looking for. I went in and found a number of important things, some symbols that I copied. But then I said to myself, how strange it is. So many times I've walked down here, so many times I must have seen that little dome and that hat on top of it, but only today it was there for me. Only today it was there for me." Now we can use one word to describe that difference. That word is noticing. When I did notice, a whole sequence of events became possible. I had not noticed before. And if I had not noticed that day, I might have left Damascus a few days later and never seen the school. So that pause can lead to a sense of presence where you discover something that you might miss through noticing, and that leads to possibilities. And what might those possibilities be? And certainly, I'd like to talk about something we don't talk very frequently about, and that is the external movement outward of our consciousness to other people. The great second commandment that the Lord Jesus gave us, love the Lord your God, number one, and love your neighbor, number two, as yourself. And so this movement of energy is an ethical direction, is a social direction, it's a horizontal dimension. But it's not just horizontal, I would say it's in every dimension when we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And the practice of noticing is a huge part of our capacity and the very opportunity to love our neighbor, and in a specific, definite, concrete way. And here's an example. I'm not telling this story to toot my horn, but sometimes all a minister has is his or her own story. So this is what you get. Sorry. Recently, I had the privilege of getting a pickup truck. And some might find that very impractical, but I've always thought, well, if a friend needs to move, I've got the pickup truck. So it's an excuse, right? But I do give thanks for the gift of that vehicle. And, you know, it's so hot here. And it was just a month or so ago. It was so hot. It was like 11 in the morning. It was 95. It was already hot, 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 and humid. And I had just come from, it was my day off, I had just come from walking along the Greenbelt down there by Barton Springs. And I was soaking wet with sweat, and I was cooling off in the beautiful air condition of my vehicle. And I was enjoying my day off. It started out great. And I'm coming up Bee Cave Road, right here. And I'm just getting up to where you turn into the HEB area. And I've driven that road 100 times, you know, in the last month, and do so all the time. And I rarely notice anything that's going on. But I noticed a man walking. I noticed. I saw, and then I noticed. And what I noticed was, here's a man older than me wearing a flannel shirt and jeans, pushing a full grocery cart full of his possessions. Now, I know Bee Cave Road doesn't have a sidewalk. At a certain point, there's a sidewalk, but then it goes away. And you can see this for yourself. There's no sidewalks, and there's no bus routes past Walsh Tarleton, for a reason, probably, which I find to be extraordinarily interesting on a social level. And no sidewalk. It's coming up. He's pushing this thing uphill. I noticed the grade for the first time. I'm like, wow, I just drive this every day of my life. But he's leaning into this thing, pushing it uphill. And just sweat dripping down his head. So I go to HEB, pull into the parking lot, and my conscience starts, that voice. I had noticed. I hadn't just seen, but I had noticed. You know, you could pick up that cart and put it in your truck. What's he going to do when the sidewalk runs out? Someone's going to hit him. So the last thing I wanted to do on my day off was to go pick this man up. But I turned around, and I decided, I had a little plan. I said, well, I'm not going to pull up alongside him on the road because cars are going fast. I'm going to pull off one of those side roads and wait. So I see him coming up to the side road, and I roll down my window. I say, hello, and he turns because he doesn't want to talk to anyone. He doesn't want to get in trouble. I'm sure of it. He doesn't want to make eye contact. He just turns. He doesn't want to get in trouble. Probably thinks I'm the authority or something in a white truck. A lot of white trucks around that are governmental. And he just turns away, pretends he doesn't see me. So I get out. I say, excuse me, where are you going? There's nowhere to go up here. Just highway, you'll get hit. And so I'm going downtown. I said, well, downtown's the other way. I said, where'd you come from? He said, downtown. I said, so you've been walking all this way? He said, yeah, I walked at night. Now, if you look at Bee Cave Road, you'll see that there's nowhere to push a cart except on the road. And I thought, oh my gosh, what is this man doing? I said, where do you want to go? I can take you somewhere. There's nowhere you can go going this way, going west. It's just highways. You could go to the HEB. He said, no, I'm trying to get downtown. So we both lifted up that heavy cart, put it in the back of the truck, and he got into the car. And I said, "Well, tell me about yourself. You know, what's your story?" So he started telling me. I said, "What's your name?" He said, "Valentine." I said, "How beautiful." And then he started talking about his dad. He cried because his dad had died. Then he started talking about the fact that he thinks he's going to die. And before I could say anything, he had lifted up his shirt and showed him, "See, I've got all these tumors in my stomach." And he said, "Please touch it, touch it." And I said, "I don't need to touch it." He said, "No, touch it. See, it's real." So I touched it, touched his tumors. It's a very sacred thing for me. And so now what? You know, where do we go? So I said, "Well, I could take you down to, you know, I know that St. David's has a wonderful homeless ministry. I could take you to the homeless center, but that would not be very enjoyable for you. I could take you to Barton Springs if you'd like to jump in the river on the other side of the paved area." He said, "Oh, that'd be great." So I took him to Barton Springs where you can get in there. And we hugged. I gave him some money. And that was all I could do with my noticing. It's just that. I couldn't change his life, couldn't change his story, couldn't take away his tumors, couldn't give him a car or a house or anything. But my noticing could give him a ride and just treat him like a human being. And that could be me. Maybe it is me. And that is the power and the possibility when we notice. The thing is, this community and others like it, spiritual communities that are meditative communities, that are communities that focus on the work of inner Christianity, that innerness is the gift to the world. Every other church in the world focuses outward, but we focus inward. But there is a power when we take this skill that we develop of self-observation and apply it to the world and live in a different way. And this possibility of powerful living from a place of love and centeredness and know, because you know yourself, you're able to know others, that's a profound gift. So let us release ourselves from the navel gazing, so to speak, for the sake of navel gazing, which only goes so far. But this navel gazing, this inward knowing, this gnosis, is actually meant for agape, for loving like God to others. And like I said, just the smallest little things sometimes we notice, and they become opportunities or possibilities to love in a profound way. And so really this is the invitation for all of us to not just make noticing about our own development, but perhaps in this simple practice, using our bodies, we can love the world in more practical, embodied ways. I wonder what that would look like for you, and I wonder what it looks like for me. I didn't go looking for that opportunity. It just happened because I was noticing. And it took all of my body and all of my energy to turn that car around and go do that thing that I would never normally do. So it's not easy. I know. You've heard what I've had to say. Let's take a moment in the silence and just let the Spirit seal in you what the Spirit is doing in you. Awaken us, Lord God, to love you and love our neighbors more keenly, more passionately, more particularly. Help us with the gift of noticing, to not just see the world and its needs, but to notice and to act with love, as Christ did. Amen. Let's stand and give our hearts to song. Creator, praise.
This ever-present fear and the thought that things would be better if I couldn't hear. Wanna be empty of the need to be right. Get lost in a struggle to win some meaningless fight. Like a dry desert creek bed, before the flood I wanna be empty. So you can fill me with your love. Come on, fill me with your love. I wanna be empty of this useless pride that covers honest feelings that I desperately hide. I wanna be empty of these petty little plans that offer so much less than I really am. Like a dry desert creek bed, before the flood I wanna be empty. So you can fill me with your love. Come on, fill me with your dry desert creek bed, for flood I wanna be empty. So you can fill me with your love. Oh, fill me with your love. Come on, fill me.
Let us now rest in the silence for 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way to consent to God's love, presence, and action. Thank you.
Most gracious, loving Creator, Heavens, Father, Creator of the heavens and the earth, giver of this and every moment, I thank you for your love and noticing of each of us on our journeys deeper into you. We pray from this table and lift up those experiencing the need of healing and grace and comfort, especially remembering at this hour Carol and her diagnosis with cancer, for Alexander, for Gay, and for Betty. May these beloveds know the presence of your care and healing energy at this hour. We lift up now to you in the silence, in the quietness of our hearts, the names and concerns that draw our attention. For these and all that remain unspoken, we pray, Lord, have mercy. And we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know that you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray with, that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit upon these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it. And having given thanks, he said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be broken for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again giving thanks and praise, he said, "This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
You are the one.
Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator, for the glory of God's work here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's conclude our worship and stand and sing Amazing Grace. Amen, yes. Thank you each for coming to church today to be a part of this beautiful community. And we love you, Cooper. Bless you. Yes, thank you very much. We remember the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Have a blessed week of noticing, and know that God's love is infusing each of our lives. Amen.